I certainly appreciate the opportunity that I think God has afforded that we meet in all the planning that might have been going on with me and Jeremy and the brethren here. All is to God's glory, because in the long run, he's the one who engineers, and he has foreknowledge of what is going, and he is the one who permits and allows such things to happen. So we need to give glory to him and praise to him that he has made it possible for us to be here. As you have heard, my name is Tenson Mankwinyana, and from the country of Zimbabwe. And what I am going just to share with you this morning is how things are going in the country of Zimbabwe. I'm going to show you where Zimbabwe is, what it is like, and the area where we are. But first of all, you remember, if we read Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the scripture says, "And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles." And you know, this is describing, Luke here is describing when Paul and Barnabas had returned to Antioch. And he, the Bible says that the church was gathered together, and he explained, they reported all the things that God had done through them. And I'm using that verse to say, it's an opportunity we are having this morning. The church is gathered here at this location, and I need to take these few minutes to give a report, to tell you what God is doing in the country of Zimbabwe. I come from the country called Zimbabwe, and what you are seeing is the waterfalls. Of the shape you are seeing, that's the country of Zimbabwe. And we are in a place that has one of the wonders of the world called the Victoria Falls. It's one of the wonders of the world. In that city of Victoria Falls, that's where I am in there with my wife and my family, whom I'm going to show you a little while. Victoria Falls, it's visited by many people around the world because it is a famous natural wonder, and that's where we are. That is my wife, Vimbai. Vimbai means trust. So Tenson there and Vimbai, we are in our hometown of Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, in Africa. Let me show you where Zimbabwe is. Well, Zimbabwe is a place that is to the southeastern part of Africa and is bordered by Botswana, Zambia, Mozambique, and South Africa. Now, you can see here, we have Mozambique, and then we have Zambia, we have Botswana, we have South Africa. We are here. This is the country of Zimbabwe, and that's where I am from. We are a landlocked country. We are a bit far away from the ocean, the Indian Ocean, and most of our things, if they are from outside, they either come by plane or by ship, and then we go collect those things in the countries where we have the oceans nearby. And then when you are in the country of Zimbabwe, you have Victoria Falls is right on the tip, and it borders the country of Zambia. And we are just here, and it borders the country of Zambia and Namibia. And the town of Victoria Falls in this country of Zimbabwe is right here. Now, just right here, as you can see, There is another town that is just right down here, and this is the town called Wanki. Wanki is about 100 kilometers from Victoria Falls. And around this area, we have two churches that I work with. There is a church in Victoria Falls called Mos Otunya, Church of Christ. And then we have two churches that are here, Lukosi and Mafimba. Those are the areas that normally we work with. They are not very far away from Victoria Falls. Now, in the slides that I'm going to show, you notice here it says National Park. So this whole place, you see this whole part here, this is a national park where we have a lot of wild animals. And our wild animals there are just, as the word says, wild. They are really wild. You can't tamper with them like you would go in a zoo here and go closer to it to try and take a picture. They are really wild. So when you come there, you better be careful. They are not the animals you can be adventurous, because they are just coming from this very big forest. They just roam until they get into the Victoria Falls town. Victoria Falls town is a resort town. They did not put any fencing to prevent animals coming in. So they can just be coming from that wild bush into the town. And it is done by the people there. We did it for a purpose, so that you can come and really see wild animals in there from their habitat. And that's what we have. Now, let me see there. Is there anything we can do? It looks like I cannot continue now. Oh, yes, all right. Right, now, let's begin talking about how the structures are in Zimbabwe. We do have urban areas, but most of us, we come from rural areas, remote areas, countryside areas. And what you are seeing on the picture, that's a homestead. That's a homestead. That's where people live there. And I go into these remote rural villages, because everywhere you are, people need the gospel. And if we don't reach there, no matter how far they are, they will not hear the gospel. And so in that picture, you are seeing me seated there. And what I normally do is sometimes I go with my wife. But if I am going by myself, I will ask people outside the homestead to come out, especially if they are women alone. Because maybe husbands would have gone for hunting, or they would have gone for beer in some places. And so you don't want them to come back and see you right in the homestead. They might think of something. So I always ask the people to come outside, and then we sit in the open, and then I start to teach them. Now, I must mention something on that particular picture. That, you see, this old woman and this one and this boy here, later on, they are all Christians. But this lady here, she never became a Christian. We try to go there and Vimbai and to encourage her, but it seems she doesn't want to obey. So it is all the same everywhere. In some places you go, some people believe, some do not. They hear what you say, they just do nothing about it. And you wonder why that happens. It is just like what our Lord said. Some seed fell on good soil, some not so much of good soil. So this is just giving you a picture of some of the places that you have. One of the work that I do in Zimbabwe is to go and teach God and morality in public school. Now, I am told here you cannot do that. And it's so fun. Because in my country, I go in the schools. I actually do have a letter from the Ministry of Education, the education headquarters, to go in any high school in the country. And when I get at that school, I simply go to the headmaster, hand him the letter from the Ministry of Education, which has my national ID and details. And then the headmaster will have to do two things. Number one, he should allow me to speak in the morning for a devotion on the public assembly of children and teachers. And then after that, he has to take me to the teacher responsible for moral education in the school. And then he draws out from the main timetable of the school the periods, we call it a session, or a period, the timetable where this class is having moral education and that class is having moral, and then I also go in classroom. So I go both to teach on the assembly in the morning and then also in classroom. And in that picture, I was teaching the senior class in the town of Victoria Falls, where I try to help the young people on the dangers of immorality and a lot of other things that you know that young people need to be warned. And we do that in public school. The reason I started planning that was we are learning from other things happening in other countries, like in our nearby South Africa. They are beginning to like allow homosexuality, which in our country, our president and our country, you cannot do that. If you are head sharing sentiments in a restaurant about homosexuality or to make some homosexual tendencies, they have allowed the detectives, if they are around, to simply come and handcuff you and you are locked up. It's a slightly a different situation, like in your country, and we are so surprised to hear that you could have laws that are passing people to do that. It's really different in our country, and you need to warn your homosexuals. If they come, they could be locked up there. It's really a different situation in our country. So we try to warn these young people about the danger of getting into internet and go into homosexual websites and get influenced in that. And every school in Zimbabwe, they are very, very happy that I have that program. And I do drive sometimes to places that are far away, and it needs a lot of, you know, gas funds to do that. And the program works out very well, my brothers and sisters. Because what happens in a school is you are not always teaching all the time. There are times that you are not in classes. And they simply give me a room where teachers are in the staff room. And while you are there, because people realize you are a minister, you are an evangelist, they start asking questions. Oh, Mr. Pastor, they always like to use the word pastor. Oh, Mr. Pastor, we want to ask a question. Do you prophesy? Do you do this? And again, I have another class. I have another chance to teach the teachers. And then when my time comes, I go into the classroom. So it works so well. And when you hear me writing through Brother Jerem to say, we are planning to go to this area and be there for a week and attend this school, and we need gas funds for so much, please, those that can help, do help, because it will go a long way. And we will also give you transparent reports of what have gone on, because this program not only works to give moral education to our young people, but it helps to actually reach many people. That is my family there. this is our eldest daughter, Patience. Patience is 17 years old and she's doing her last year of high school. This is our second daughter, our second child, Priscilla. So we have Patience, 17, Priscilla, who is 10 years, and then Paul, who is doing grade one. This one is in the fifth grade. This one is grade one. And that's my wife, Vimbai, there. We were in our house, and that's my family. We also have a girl who is not in the picture. Obviously, there she was the one taking the picture. And her name is Esther. She is an orphan. My uncle's wife passed away. And we looked at the family and we saw that they are in the remote area. They cannot take care. And my wife decided we take Esther. And so she is also finishing her high school next year. So that's my family there. That is my young brother, Josiah. Josiah is my blood brother, who is also preaching in the town, not of Victoria Falls, but in Harare. And that was with his wife, Nometa. Recently, they were blessed with the twins. We are so happy about that. And they are doing a good job in the town of Harare, where he preaches with the Chitungwiza South. When we came here last year, Christians were very generous to give me and my wife some used clothes. And in that picture, you are seeing my wife had just laid the clothes on the ground and asked the ladies, each one, to come and choose what they are. You know, in the remote area, things are not as comfortable as you would think. Here in America, you brethren, you are very privileged. You got plenty plus. In Africa, the situation is not the same. Right now, I'm going to talk about food aid here. You find food is not enough. It's not like what you do where you go in a refrigerator and it is filled with the food which you don't know you placed in the fridge when. It's not like that in Africa. Sometimes you find children crying when there are visitors. The mother tries to save the guests and the food is not enough in the background in the kitchen. And so the situation there is that we need help. Of course, we tell our brethren to be careful about just wanting to depend on what? On receiving. But honestly, when we go into rural areas, there are situations we see that these people need help. And in this case, we were just trying to distribute the used clothes that we were given when we are here. We would select certain people, like very old ladies who are Christians, who we see that they have been deserted by their sons and daughters into town to do prostitution. And then you look at this old woman and you say, she is a Christian, the children are not responsible, there's no way I can get in touch with the children, and we try to help in that need. We always, and so in that picture, we were just trying to give. Now you see that gentleman, please don't tamper with him. Please don't. Now, we have had to lose some of tourists from Switzerland who came in and they went with a tour guide. And they wanted to go very close to an elephant, not knowing sometimes ours are not as tamed as maybe the ones that you may have. And so once he charges the national park people, tell us that these wild animals from the bush, especially the elephants, 95% of an attack of an elephant to a human being, 95% of an elephant's attack to a human being, no matter where you are, is death. Is death. So we are very careful, even ourselves, when we are there, to not go very close to this. But they are really a wonderful thing to see. You know, they move in 20s, 50s. And they always would try to protect them when they are right coming into a neighborhood. They will probably take a helicopter just to chase them away. But they are really very, very wild. These are the kind of animals we have in our area. There we were baptizing in a river. In rivers, in our rivers, we are very careful because sometimes our rivers are prohibited to do baptisms because of crocodiles. In this river, we were just trying to not be very far away where it is deep, because if that person up there comes out, you are gone. He will be right there in the river, in the deep, and as you are just on the edge with your friend, he just shoots out, takes your friend in, and in a second, your friend is no more. And so we are very careful of these creatures in our country. They are very common and yet very dangerous. And we live with them and we don't want to kill them, but we are careful with our lives as well. That's my son, Paul. He was ready to go to school. In our country, different from yours, all children going to school, they put school uniform because the people are different in their social status. So they said that every student should be wearing uniform so that they are the same, whether it is primary school or whether it is secondary school. That is Mosotunya Church of Christ in Victoria Falls, where we work. Some of the members were not there because being a resort center, some go in the morning, some go in the afternoon. We also do night outreach, where we go in the rural areas, we knock on doors, and we will be camped at school. And then in the evening, we ask people. Then I have a generator and a projector, and then we will put it. Then I write the lesson that I want to teach the people in our language so that people can look at that. That's another church at Mafimba, and this was when I was here last year. In a brother's home in Alabama, teaching the young people. And that's Lukosi, that is near Hwange. So we have three groups that we really work with: the Mosi congregation in Vic Falls, the Mafimba Church near Hwange, and the Lukosi. And so that's all I can say about this short report because of our time. I just want to bring up some of the current needs that we will need to know. We would encourage brethren. We have had places that have been affected by drought. Your natural disasters here are tornadoes and hurricanes, but our problem is drought. People depend on, you know, farming, peasant farming, and sometimes they will be expecting rains, and rains do not come. We eat what is called cornmeal, and they put it and they prepare it like grits, but grits is it's not as thick as our sadza. It's called sadza. So you buy a packet, a 20 kg of that cornmeal plus another 10, it takes a month of a family of four. So your $28 can buy 30 kg of cornmeal that can save a family of four. So right now, as I talk, I have five congregations of 15 to 20 members that need that help. And every time you think you can help, please get in touch with me or Brother Jerem, and we will send you pictures of how much we have bought, the receipts, and when I deliver that, I will get the cornmeal that we would have bought with the brethren standing behind it, so that you brethren here, you will see how we have used your money. And also, those that are willing, I will be very happy for you to help in gas funds, for general travel funds, for evangelism and teaching God and morality in Zimbabwe. I want to try and reach many places that are very far in other provinces that are not reached by the gospel. And sometimes we depend on you, brethren. We know that you have your problems, you have some, a lot of things, insurance to take care of. But if you can spare just $50 on our way to help further the cause of Christ, that would be appreciated. Thank you very much, brethren, for your attention. I don't know if there could be anyone with any question. Anyone who would like to ask anything, as I put up my details there, if you have any question you might want to ask before we wrap up, I think our time is gone. Any question? Anything that you may want to know more? Yes, my brother.
What are the fuel costs in your country for a liter of fuel or a gallon of fuel?
What are they?
The fuel costs.
The fuel, well, the fuel cost, I've got a Toyota van, and it costs $1.40 per liter. And my vehicle can take about 40 liters, which can go a distance of close to more than 100 kilometers. And I have a van that is fuel consuming. Only that when I'm going into roads that are rural roads, you know, sometimes the roads are not so good, so you always move on heavy gear. But it's an auto vehicle that allows me to reach as many places as we can. So it's $1.40 per liter. We don't do it per gallon. It's per liter. And so that's the cost.
Are there, in these schools you're going to, are there also denomination groups that bring preachers and teachers in to teach those classes?
No, mine is a unique situation. Because the government does not allow. You see, previously, I was fortunate to be in a three-year preacher training school when I was still with the liberals. And that school had a teacher training curriculum. They do not allow most of the pastors from theological schools. They just do all these bunch of courses, but there is no teacher education. So the only reason I was fortunate is that my certificate includes teacher education. And so they say, yes, you can go into our schools. So you have, if a pastor from a Presbyterian is allowed, he will only speak 5 minutes on the assembly, and that's all. He's not allowed anymore. So mine, I think it was God's doing. I was just fortunate to have that kind of thing. All right, brethren, thank you so much for your attention. May God bless you.